Want entertainment designed just for you? Then check out customizable streaming TV from Xfinity. It makes your life simple, easy, awesome.
Xfinity gives you customizable streaming TV options. Enjoy the most free shows anywhere on any device, and even access your streaming apps right on your TV with X1. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.
Warning. This show contains adult political themes and language. Liberals and little children should cover their ears.
Welcome to Liberty Never Sleeps, where negativity never sounded so good. Now here's your host, Thomas Purcell.
Good morning and welcome to Liberty Never Sleeps. Make sure to follow the show at our website at libertyneversleeps.com. Be sure to follow our Twitter feed at Real Liberty Tom. And join us on Facebook at Real Liberty Never Sleeps on Facebook.com. Good morning, Election Day, Election 2018. It's supposed to be the most historic election in our lifetimes. Don't they say that every time? It seems that way. I mean, I'm not going to say that it isn't an important election, but it always is. When wasn't it an important election? What, 1850 or something? 1830? 1792? When was it not an important election? That's what I'd like to know. I'm watching the pundits the last, 12 hours or so. And it's really, for someone like me who is so partisan, who is so one-sided in his political opinions, it's really not very interesting because all of the pundits, all of the journalists and whatnot are making their last pitch for who you want, they want you to vote for. And it's like why I said yesterday, if you haven't been paying attention, then maybe that's important to you. If you haven't been looking at politics in the last, 6 to 8 months, if you haven't been bombarded by everything on entertainment, everything in media, if you've been living under a rock for the last 6 to 8 months, well, then you need that. But just about everybody else, come on. If you haven't made up your mind by now, if you don't know who you're going to vote for on Election Day, you haven't been paying attention. Because the two sides are so different and so polarized. I tell you one thing. They say this is the most historic election. Yeah, whatever. Every election's important. But, however, I should say, this is the most polarized election I have ever seen in my lifetime. Every candidate on every election that I've been looking at, and I can't say I've looked at all of these House races that are around the country. I can't say I've looked at every Senate race or every governor's race. But in most elections that I've looked at, the candidates are so different. How could you not know who you're going to vote for? I mean, take a look at that Governor Georgia race where you have Jack Kemp? I think it's Kemp. Running for governor, and he's doing ads where he's in a pickup truck saying, "I'm going to bring my pickup truck so I can lock up illegal aliens." And then you have the other one who's actually promoting free Medicare and free college educations. How can there are two so different theories and schools of thought? The parties, the political parties, have gotten so. I mean, they're so different and they're so polarized. The Democratic Party is not afraid to say they're socialists anymore. The Democratic Party isn't afraid to say communists back them. And the Republican Party is out there in pickup trucks and shotguns and talking about guarding our borders. I mean, I can't remember when a Republican has been so when it's been so divided, when Republicans have been so bold, frankly. And I mean, in the past, Republicans always made a subtle argument for immigration reform, always made subtle thoughts about national defense. You remember Ronald Reagan's What If There's a Bear in the Woods? And it was a subtle reminder that our national defense needs reinforcing and that we need to be worried about the Russians. And it isn't like that anymore. I remember when a local candidate here, I think it was Ben Quayle. He was running in a district which has been since eliminated, and he was running for House of Representatives. And he comes out and says on his ad, "Barack Obama is the worst president in U.S. history." I mean, I can't remember when Republican candidates were that divisive and that bold in what their statements were. Not that it didn't need doing, mind you. Not that there was needed to be a strong conservative element. Not that that people didn't need to be called out for their statements. But man, you talk about divisive. The Senate race here in Arizona between Kristen Sinema and Martha McSally, I can't remember a campaign. Every break in every TV ad that I was watching yesterday, election ad. I mean, I was on. I go to Netflix. Look at this. I go to YouTube. Excuse me. I go to YouTube, and I decided to watch old Gordon Ramsay videos because I got so sick of politics yesterday. I said, "Hell, I'm going to put on some TV and I'm going to watch Gordon Ramsay on YouTube." I got political ads first. Before the Gordon Ramsay YouTube videos, Martha McSally is an asshole. Kristen Sinema is a douchebag. You know, I mean, that's pretty much what they were saying. It was awful. And they were all truthful, mind you. I mean, they showed Kristen Sinema talking about Arizona like she didn't want to be here, like she was offended that she had to be a representative from this state, you know, making faces and stuff. And then they talked about Martha McSally. She wants to take away your Medicare and she wants to do away with pre-existing conditions. Well, I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to saying, hey, listen, insurance has to go back to being insurance instead of being a handout. But that's beside the point. The ads were so nasty and so divisive. You know, frankly, they should take those two women, oil them up, and put them in a wrestling ring. And let them fight it out. Let them duke it out, and the winner take all. Goes home and be senator. You know, it's that bad. It's that ridiculous. It's that one sided. That's how the arguments are, and the candidates aren't making it any better. They're openly stating what they're for and what they're against. You know, we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to talk about the difference between Republican and Democrat, and really what you're voting for. What are you getting? It's like, you know how they do those videos on YouTube where they say, oh, what if the trailer for Star Wars was accurate? You know, a more accurate Batman trailer. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about the accuracy of what Republicans want. What do Democrats offer? And then I'm going to explain to you why we're doing it wrong. I mean, we are. If it's so important. You know, the Democrats are talking about millions will die unless you vote Democrat. If it's that important, we're doing it wrong. We're doing it wrong. Then our government is too important in our lives. Then the government has too much influence in our lives. That's really what people are forgetting. It shouldn't be important. The election should be like, oh, okay. Well, maybe we want to go a little further toward more protecting more people with our health insurance. Well, maybe we could do a little better on our national defense, that kind of thing. We're doing it wrong. If it's that critical, if it's that important, if it's that crazy, if these ads are truthful in any way, that this is the most important historic election, it's not. We're doing it wrong. Look, anything that happens in the next 2 years, it can be undone in the next two after it. Proof of that is Donald Trump. I remember when Barack Obama got elected, and I was really upset that Barack Obama got elected so much that I had decided to maybe I should invest more time in politics, and eventually led to this, what I'm doing today. When you talk about what Barack Obama come, with the exception of Obamacare, virtually almost everything has been undone by Donald Trump. I mean, take a look at it, because since most of Obama's stuff was done by executive order, he just basically signed a bunch of executive orders reversing it, right? The only exception being Obamacare, and that's been gutted. And as a result, it's actually making it worse, that the Obamacare is going to implode even faster. And then we're going to be faced with a crisis. Got to repeal it. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, Obamacare has to be repealed. It's a mess. We need to do something with healthcare. My attitude is always just repeal everything and start from scratch. Let's go back to a free market force where you have to pay for your own healthcare. Watch how fast prices come down when the free market is restored to healthcare. Watch how much the pharmaceutical companies will howl and squirm when that happens, when government doesn't pay for everything. You watch, but it will never happen. It will never happen because everybody squeals about, I'm losing my pre-existing conditions. And Republicans and Democrats alike will always relent because no one wants to take away an entitlement once you get it. It's a very painful process, and nobody wants to deal with the political fallout of that. So we continue. We continue on with a busted healthcare system. We continue on with policies that have $10,000 deductibles that pay for your help, that pay for your visit to an office, which really isn't anything. You go to the office, and the doctor asks you 50 questions, and then you go home, and they call out a physical. And then they stick you in the arm, and if anything turns up in your blood that's significant, then they'll give you a call. Maybe not. But they usually don't. They usually don't call you, right? That's healthcare now. And that's what they're paying for. And then the government's paying, picking up the tab. Or we are. Everyone says, well, government will pick up the tab. Government will give you free education. Government will give you free college. Government will give you Medicare. And well, the government does is give you tons more taxes and more people telling you what to do. We'll go talk about that too. Let's take a break. I mean, what do you say today? All the pundits are doing pro-election shows. You should vote for Trump, or you should vote for Republicans, or you should vote for this. And then it's over in CNN. It's a blue wave. We're going to do all kinds of stuff. And it could be anywhere between an 18 and 400 vote win, which is totally ridiculous with predictions. Their predictions are completely bananas, right? They're not accurate. Nobody's sticking their neck out in any way. And then tomorrow, and here's the sad part. Tomorrow, right, after the election's all over, and we're going to do this too, a review of the races tomorrow. Everyone's going to be covering their ass on the mistakes that they made, right? They're going to be saying, well, we didn't think, we didn't anticipate this. We didn't anticipate that. We didn't figure out this. And each side, Republican and Democrat alike, is going to be making the case, how we won. We only lost 17 seats. We kept the Senate. We lost the Senate, but we kept the House, and that's a victory, and that was not expected. Each side will be pitching about how great they did in the election, no matter how fucking bad they did. And it's just, you get frustrated. As somebody who looks at things objectively, and I look at facts, and I look at analysis, and I look at things objectively, I say, okay, wait a minute. Now, I don't deny that. I do it from a conservative viewpoint. But you understand, I say, well, what really happened here? What didn't happen? It upsets me when I see all these guys getting paid millions of dollars of salary to sit in front of a TV, make the wrong predictions, say the wrong things. Like Karl Rove, he's always fucking wrong, man. He's always wrong. He gets that whiteboard out, and he draws little pictures, and the Democrats are going to do this, and Democrats are going to do that, and Republicans are going to do this, this is why we'll go do that. And then he's wrong, and then no one calls him out on it. No one. No one says, hey, Rove, man, you screwed up big time. Hey, Carl, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Oh, well, he got President Bush elected twice. How could you not? I mean, terrorists flew planes into a friggin' building in New York, right? Just about everybody is going to vote to continue a presidency in a situation where you're at war, right? He sent troops over to Afghanistan and Iraq, which I still don't understand why we got troops in Afghanistan, for God's sakes. And they go, he got Bush elected twice. Well, I mean, you'd have to be a friggin' moron not to get Bush elected twice in a situation like that. All you got to do is say, you need us. You can't switch horses in midstream. We're at war. That's all you got to say, and no one in America likes to switch presidents during wartime, during a situation where troops in the field. You'd have to be a friggin' moron, and he almost blew it, too. Don't forget, John Kerry was leading in the polls up until the last minute, up until some of the veterans and the hard right began to say, hey, wait a minute, we can't screw around right now. We can't change presidents in midstream. I just get upset. I get, it's like, my head hurts. Anyway, let's take a break. Let's talk about the Republicans and the Democrats and what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. And then we'll talk about the reality of the vote. We'll be right back. And we're back. What Republicans are offering in this election? Well, to start with, they won't impeach the president, right? I mean, you know, impeachment is supposed to be reserved for presidents that commit high crimes and misdemeanors. That's the technical description. But it's usually something involving fraud or criminal malfeasance. In the case of Bill Clinton, he committed perjury. That's what arguably the argument for impeachment on Bill Clinton was. I don't know if it was such a bright idea to do it because he only had 2 years left on his presidency, right? It wasn't going to affect things too much. I mean, even if you were successful in removing Bill Clinton from office, what do you get? You got Al Gore as your president for 2 years. Big deal, right? What is the success there? Nevertheless, Bill Clinton committed perjury on the stand. Had nothing to do with him, you know, and his sexual improprieties. I mean, God knows, we knew about a lot of Bill Clinton's sexual improprieties before he ran for office. But the guy, and everybody knows he's a hound dog. People make jokes about it. But what is the end game for the Democrats if they win the House and they win the Senate? Well, of course, you impeach the president, then what? You get Mike Pence as president. Pence is more conservative, far more conservative than Donald Trump is. My God, that guy's religious right all the way. You know, he talks about horrible things. You know, Donald Trump made a joke about how Pence is so hard right and how he wants to hang gays or something like that, and everyone went nuts, right? So what do? You get Mike Pence. And Pence, you know, it's almost a sure bet he's going to appoint someone like Paul Ryan or maybe even Jeff Flake to the vice presidency position, and then what? What do? You impeach Pence too? Do you work up enthusiasm for getting rid of Pence? I mean, what's your game plan here, Democrats? They're all designed to talk about getting rid of President Trump because why? Because Republicans are Donald Trump, right? And Republican is, what are they saying? Well, we're just going to continue with a strong economy, strong national defense, successes in foreign policy, and we got to get the wall built. That's the Republican offer. That's what they're stating. That's what the argument is. Vote Republican, but it shouldn't be. And Republicans should be talking about what? Small government, less regulations, lower taxes, strong national defense. So the building a wall is a big part of that. And that's why Donald Trump is kind of mad. There's been stories about how Donald Trump is not happy with supposedly his closing argument. You know, they all sit in a room, right? Smoke-filled rooms. Every president does it. Every vice president does it. Every senator does it. What are we going to say to the people in the last couple days? What is our closing argument before they go to the polls? Because it's astonishing to me that people wait in line at the polls, but we'll get to that later. What is our statement? And the general consensus is, the closing statement of the Republican Party is, our economy is good. More people are working than ever before. The stock market is through the roof. I mean, there's no doubt about it, the stock market. In other words, businesses are making tons of money. Businesses are hiring. Great employment market. If you want to make a job jump, this is a good time to do it. You could probably, you know, write your own ticket at most big companies. That's what the Republican offer is. That's what they're stating. And it's been said that Donald Trump wanted to talk about what? Immigration. How there's these caravans coming to the southern border, that we still haven't had the wall built, that we need to do something to protect the integrity of the United States. I don't disagree with Donald Trump. I agree with Donald Trump's assessment. The number one thing that people wanted when they voted for Trump, and this is both Democrat and Republican alike, and that's the point I'm trying to make. 85% of the American people want something done about the southern border. 85%. If you can't make the case that you should vote Republican on any of a dozen issues, you can make the case on immigration. If 85% of the electorate, Democrat and Republican alike, liberal and conservative alike, says that illegal immigration is the problem and we need to do something about it, then that should be your closing argument. I agree with Donald Trump. I don't know why the closing argument, it's gone. People know that business is better. People know that there's more money in their paycheck. People know that they were able to get a job easily enough, or that they were able to change jobs, or that things are improving, wages are up. People know all these things. You don't need to hammer it home. They feel it every day. They feel. I feel it. The donations to our show are up. You know, they've never been higher. Why would you not make the argument about immigration when there's so many people both on the left and the right? Because on the left, people will say, well, the economy is because of Obama. The economy is because it's cyclical. Make the argument about the immigration. That's why Democrats voted for Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump would not have won the election without the upper Midwest, right? And the upper Midwest, and we're talking about Wisconsin, Michigan, states like that, areas like that. If that hadn't happened, he would not be president, because they were saying that Clinton had the blue wall. The Electoral College was heavily slanted for the Democrat Party. I remember Republican, conservative pundits trying to argue for doing away with the Electoral College because it guaranteed a Clinton win. It was ridiculous. It was a stupid argument, first of all. But what is essential is that the reason they lost the upper Midwest was twofold. Hillary Clinton was talking about doing away and continuing Rust Belt policies, which is you coal miners need to work on solar panels, essentially. That's the argument. That the economy is changing and the upper Midwest needs to change with it. Which is not entirely a wrong statement in the sense that economies need to change and flex with the times. But you can't stand in front of a group of coal miners and say, oh, I'm going to put you all out of business. That's stupid. That resonates with other areas. And I said that. And the second issue was immigration. People were tired of illegal immigrants. People were tired of the massive influx of refugees who were not assimilating into American culture. You know, back when Reagan was talking about the wall and the gate, you remember the speech when he was talking about illegal immigration and we need to have walls, but we need to have gates, doors that people could come into the country. It was a different time. A lot of illegal immigrants were coming to America. First of all, they weren't in great numbers as much as it was today. But they were coming to America to become Americans. I personally knew several illegal immigrants who were trying to build business and stuff here so that their kids, who had birthright citizenship, which now they're talking about taking away, who had birthright citizenship could work the business, inherit the business, and then become Americans. They wanted to be Americans. That's not the case so much today. You have most illegal aliens coming from not Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala, other places like that, and they are not assimilating into American culture. They are setting up basically little versions of Honduras and Guatemala and Central American countries here in American cities because the Democrats have enabled it with their policies. Back when Reagan was president, illegal aliens could not access as many benefits, as many systems, as many social service safety nets as they can today. And as a result, those social service safety nets that we set up here in America is enabling illegal immigrants to maintain their foreign status while in here in the United States. That's the difference. Illegal aliens back in the 80s had to assimilate in order to be productive. They had to learn the English language. They did not have the social safety nets they did not have today. California, these sanctuary states, they have enabled systems which allow illegal immigration to live here on the American taxpayer's dollar. And that's got to stop. That's the big problem. It's not so much the illegal immigration as it is the enabling of cultures not to assimilate here into America. I remember distinctly as a kid, yeah, people didn't like illegal immigrants. It was an issue. But it wasn't that big a deal because they didn't benefit so much from our systems. It's a little different now. You go into any inner city, and there are city blocks that are completely converted over to a Guatemalan or Honduran or Mexican lifestyle. It's horrible when you see it. People living in slum-like conditions, people living in multiple homes, families in one home. It's ridiculous. And, of course, the lifestyle that they've packed the store shelves with the foods and native things. That it's different. It's just different. It's not the same as coming here and assimilating. Most people aren't offended by that. That's what you try and need to emphasize in the Republican Party. It's not the immigration. It's not the amount of people. It's not the fact that they're brown skin. It's not a racist thing. It's the fact that people are not assimilating, that people are not here coming here to become Americans. They're coming here to be Hondurans living in America. It's a different thing. And that's what people are upset about. It's not a million people coming here crossing the border illegally. It's a million people coming here and not assimilating. And I don't think the Republicans make that argument very well. They make it basically, we don't want illegal immigration. Well, yeah, I know, but why? What is it about illegal immigration that's the problem? And they never really tell that. And they should. And that's really the argument, because that is something that will resonate with the American people. As I said, 85% on every poll, it's between 80 and 85% want the president to do something about illegal immigration. And that really needs to talk about. And the Democrats make it all about racism. Well, you don't want people because they're brown. You don't want people because they're different. You don't want people because you're a racist. That's not the argument. The argument is they're coming here not to assimilate. And that's different than it has been in previous generations. I can tell you for a fact. I mean, I've worked with people many, many times. They have said this. They're upset about people not speaking the English language. Listen to what they're saying. You know, you make these... They have these all these YouTube videos about this quote-unquote racist rant about somebody who's not speaking English. Yeah, it's inappropriate, but it's not about racism. It's about a culture not coming to here to become American. And people interpret that in many ways. Many, for instance, speaking the English language. Doing things the American way. Capitalism. No benefits. Working hard. These are all things that are iconic to the American narrative that a foreign culture who comes here as an illegal immigrant doesn't do anymore. That's what we need to emphasize as a Republican Party, and that's what they're not telling you. But the Republican offer, less government, lower taxes, less regulation, strong national defense. That's the thing that they need to argue on. That's the offer that they're making to you. That's what Donald Trump has delivered. That's what the Republican Party has not delivered to the American people in the last 20 years, which is why they lost the presidency to Bill Clinton and they lost the presidency to Barack Obama, because they failed to do what I told them. Lower taxes, lower regulations, strong national borders, smaller government. If that's what you want, then you vote the Republican ticket. I don't worry too much about Martha McSally talking about Medicare or talking about Social Security. I don't care about that. What I care about is the big picture. And the big picture is, if you vote Republican, even if you think that the Republican is a rhino, even if you think that the Republican isn't quite as conservative as you like, the big picture is, in the long run, it'll be lower taxes, it'll mean less government, and it'll mean a strong national defense. Those things are big. And in the long run, if you maintain Republican power in government, that's what you get. Let's talk about what the Democrat offers. We'll be right back. Gifts of all sizes help to ensure that Liberty Never Sleeps remains a relevant, vital resource across our nation. More than 70% of the funding for Liberty Never Sleeps comes from our listeners through the generosity of membership support by donating at patreon.com. Join our Insiders Club for $10 a month and gain access to private shows and editorial columns. Go to libertyneversleeps.com and click on the Donate Now button at the top of the page or on the button at our Facebook site. Thank you for your continued support. What does the Democrat offer currently on the table? to the American people in this election? Well, get rid of Trump. Trump's a racist. Got to get rid of Trump. Trump. They're not going to impeach him. They could. If they control the Senate and if they control the House, that might happen. They're certainly going to give him hell. If the Democrats win the House and the Senate, it's almost certain they will try and capture the presidency in 2020, and probably will. If the Democrats are wildly successful today, and there is a blue wave, and the pollsters are right, it's almost certain that Hillary Clinton will announce that she is going to become candidate for president of the United States. I'm telling you, if the blue wave doesn't happen, if the Democrats fail to take the House or the Senate, then you'll not see Hillary Clinton will fade into the background, and she'll probably funnel money to Chelsea Clinton for a Senate seat somewhere or a House seat or something, I don't know, dog catcher somewhere. It'll all be about Chelsea Clinton. That's the way it's going to go. That's why Hillary Clinton has been hesitant about what she's going to say. She's not going to run for president unless there's a power base in the Senate or the House to back her up. That's really what their offer is. Honest to God, that's really what it is. It's open borders. They're going to do away with ICE. You can bet on it. They're going to attempt it. They're going to begin the process. They can't do anything if Donald Trump is still president because he'll veto everything. So anything that you think that they are promising to you is free stuff like free college, free Medicare, free health insurance, whatever, that's not going to happen because Donald Trump just vetoed it. There's no way they're going to get enough votes or enough seats to turn over to override President Trump's veto. So what you're going to get, the reality, even though they're offering open borders, free college, free Medicare, whatever, free. We're going to give you everything for free, right? Because we'll just either put it on the tab or we'll up your taxes. Will not happen because Donald Trump will just veto it. And if they're successful in winning the House, they probably won't impeach the president because they know they can't get rid of him in the Senate. Or at least they might impeach him just to cast aspersion on it. And it really won't mean anything because they can't remove him from office if they don't lose the Senate. It will be 2 years of basically government being unable to do anything. And Donald Trump will probably go down as the president who has the most vetoes ever. That's likely. There's not, because they're not going to be able to override it. So if you're a Democrat, if you think that voting for a Democrat will somehow give you all of these things right away, that won't happen. Not in a million years. And no Democrat will tell you that. Because Donald Trump is the president. He's going to veto it. Impeaching the president doesn't mean you remove him from office. You have to have the House and the Senate to do it. And you have to have it by a sizable margin in order to get that through. So put that out of your heads. Now, on a local level, things will change. Your taxes will increase. That's certain. If you have a mayor or you have a city council or a senator, for instance, that's Democrat, your taxes are going to increase. It's going to. There's no question about it because with the mandate that they say that they will have by winning these elections, they'll be able to push it through legislation because Republicans are cowards, by and large, from local on down. If you have a Republican governor, it'll just be vetoed and nothing will happen at your state level either. That's what Democrats offer, basically 2 years of nothing. And then they're going to try and capture the presidency or your governorship and go from there. But assuming that they're successful and they continue to be successful, in other words, this blue wave continues to 2020, 2024, you're going to see a lot more mass immigration. You're going to see more sanctuary cities and states. There's no doubt about it. They don't deny it. This is not something I'm making up for political purposes. This is not an opinion. They stated openly, we're going to do away with ICE. We've got to reinvent ICE. Yeah, they're not going to reinvent anything. They're just going to take it away. Well, we're going to give you free college education, which you'll probably see if they're successful in the next two elections. Because as I said, one election is not going to be enough. And they'll make that case to you. Oh, we didn't do enough in this election. We'll get, the next election will be the most historic election. They'll give you free college. What they'll do is absolve $1 trillion of student loans, and they'll do it in ways which basically makes all the people holding student loans beholden to the state. They'll make them slaves. That's what they'll encourage. They'll say, we'll absolve your student loan if you go to work for the Peace Corps, if you go to work for social services, if you go to work for the government, and the government ranks will swell. And in order to do that, they're going to have to raise your taxes. They say that. They openly say it. Jeff Garcia here in our state in Arizona, there's speeches of him going, I'm going to raise your taxes. No one's going to. Walter Mondale tried that, if you remember, when he was running against Ronald Reagan. I shouldn't say it. It was Bush, I think, and it was Dukakis. We're going to raise your taxes. And what happened? It was a landslide Republican. Nobody wants that. Nobody really wants it. But that's what's coming. And they're saying it now. They believe that. They think that the American people are willing to say, I'm willing to pay more taxes. But they don't pay more taxes. Every one of those celebrities and every one of these experts like Al Sharpton and all these talking heads, they do anything to get out of tax paying. Some of them just don't pay it. So much for that. We'll offer free Medicare for everyone. Bernie Sanders is out there. Free Medicare for everyone. Medicare for all. Medicare is failing now because we're giving it away, because too many people are getting it and they're not paying into the system. How are you going to pay for it? You know, somebody asked Alexandria Cortez, that Nimrod, how will you pay for this? No answer. The reality is it's more taxes. If you're willing to pay for more taxes, if you want to pay 20, 30, 40% more out of your paycheck, then vote Democrat. You'll get it. There's no question about it. And you'll probably get open borders. You'll probably get student loans absolved in some way if you're willing to be a slave, if you're willing to tie yourself to a career that you really don't want to do, but you're doing it to pay off your student debt. You'll probably get an expanded version of Medicare and health care in the form of a buy-in on Medicare or something like that. And you'll have to get a lot more taxes to pay for it. That's what you'll get. That's the offer on the table. If you want that, that's the thing. That's why typically successful people or people with a lot of money vote Democrat. They go, I got $1 trillion in the bank. I'll pay a little bit more. I'll pay another $50 a week in taxes, right? I believe that, and we need to protect all these sick people. We need to protect all these elderly people. We need to protect all these illegal immigrants. Protect, 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 protect. Well, I'm willing to pay $50 more a week, but the guy like you and me, the average middle class guy, another $50 a week will break us, and they don't realize that. Oh, but it'll only be the rich that'll pay taxes. Spinoloni. Middle class have to pay taxes. They're the ones that have to pay it always. Rich don't pay taxes. They got accountants and lawyers to line up and pay taxes. And even when they owe it, like Sharpton, they just don't pay it anyway. So why bother? Why not raise taxes on the rich? Sure, I'm not going to pay it anyway. Just throw my hands up and say I can't afford it. You know, I need another 747 parked in my garage like Travolta has. I'm not going to pay taxes. That's the Democrat way. That's the limousine liberal way. That's what their offer is. And they don't deny it. That's the sick part. That's the bizarre part. They stand up in front of crowds and say, I'm going to do this. Vote for me. And people line up for it. That always astonishes me. That people say, okay. That people line up for it. But we need that. But we need that. But we need it. Well, we need everything, right? I mean, seriously, we need health care. Sure, we do. We need college education. Sure, we do. We've got a system now that enshrines it into our job training. We need all these things, right? That's a good argument. We need Medicare. We need Social Security. We need money. We need benefits. Vote for me. I'll give it to you. Okay. If you haven't got anything, it sounds good. That's why young people so vote for Democrat. But the reality is what? You got to pay for it one way or another. Somebody does, and that's you. You're going to have a massive increase in taxes. That's what they're not telling you. And some guys are. And they people still say, okay. I don't get that. I really don't. I don't understand how can... I mean, what is your expanded plan for the United States of America? What do you think, if you're a Democrat, what is your idea of what a better America looks like? California? California is the bluest state in the union, right? Highest wealth inequality in the country. Highest rate of homelessness. Highest rate of social service recipients. Highest rates of lots of things. Oh, they stand around and say how great California is because their tax coffers have never been higher. But they don't talk about the reality of what their cities look like. You got feces running all over the place in the street in San Francisco. You got people falling down in the street with needles stuck in their arms. Is that the city you want? Is that the country you want? If you want to look at what the country would look like run by Democrats, look at California. It's easy. Or look at Arizona, which is a state mostly red, or Alabama, and see how those states are doing. That's the reality. That's the real effect. I mean, is that what do Democrats say is a better world? Where government runs things? That's their argument. What is the Republican argument? We shouldn't let government run things. We should run things ourselves. We should let people self-govern themselves. Big government is not self-governance. Big government is guys in robes like the Supreme Court deciding what is law and what isn't. Big government is the bureaucracy. Get in line. Here's your number. That's big government. That's not the people. You know, one of the things it was interesting the other day, I think I mentioned it on the show here. I was watching an old movie about journalist John Reed. It was a movie called Reds, Warren Beatty, Diane Keaton. A lot of people were upset about that movie. Oh, it sensationalized communism. No, it didn't. It showed the reality of it. They showed that all of these people had these idealistic ideas about Marxism and Leninism. And then when it actually got into play, how fucked up everything was and how screwed up everything was. And when John Reed, or as he was called Jack, he was the American journalist who went to Russia during the Russian Revolution and was a proponent of Marxism and Leninism and wanted to be the journalist to report on how this great people's revolution was going to change Russia and realized the implications of it and saw the reality of what was happening, the loss of individuals, loss of freedom, the complete and utter chaos that was enacted by the Bolsheviks being in charge, about the massive bureaucracy that they instituted. He was going to talk publicly about how massively wrong it was, and that's why he ended up dead in a hospital. They just got rid of him. That's the reality that the Democrats bring you. The fact that it's going to be bigger government. The fact that it's going to be more bureaucracy. The fact that you're going to get free stuff, but somebody's got to pay for it, and that means you do. Loss of freedom of choice. That's what the Democrat offer is, and they don't deny it. That's the sick part. That's the crazy part. They talk about women's rights. So this is a big thing. Me Too movement, right? Women's rights. We got to give women the right to choose. Right to choose what? The government will pay for everything? The right to choose what? Choose to murder your child? You can still have abortions even with the Republicans in charge. There'll still be Planned Parenthood clinics. It's just that the government won't pay for it. You will. How is that a wrong thing? I don't understand the Democrat mentality. I really don't. I've tried to over the years. I've tried to sit down and say, well, why would you vote Democrat? What's the thinking there? And then I realize it's not about thinking. It's about emotional thought. Because if you reason it out, if you reason out the reality of it and the empirical evidence, you would realize, oh my God, it doesn't work at all. Idealistically, on paper, it works great. That's why professors pitch it in college and think it's such a great idea. Because they sit in a classroom, and on paper, it works. The reality is human beings behave much differently when actually faced with that situation. If you're sitting on the home and you're playing video games and you're living on the dole, sounds great. You're going to vote Democrat. But if you're the guy out hustling for a living and you've got a family to feed and you're not on the government dole and you're in the middle class struggling to make ends meet, it doesn't offer you anything. It doesn't offer anything but misery. More lines, more bureaucracy, more tyranny, which is what it is. It's the tyranny of an indifferent bureaucracy that just doesn't give a shit about you. That only wants you, what's your social security number? Get in line. Next, please. Oh, you got a complaint? That's another line. Oh, yeah, well, you could do something about it. You could vote for less government because government doesn't work. And that's why it bothers me when Republicans, you know, were like George Bush, were saying, oh, we need a Department of Homeland Security. Really? You mean because the FBI and the CIA and the NSA and the military and law enforcement couldn't do the fucking job, you want more of it? You want another department to screw things up? And we is the country any safer because of George Bush and the Homeland Security? I doubt it. That's what bothered me about the Republican Party, and that's what bothered the American people, and it's why Donald Trump got elected. Because they were tired of these same old low-energy Jeb Bushes as president. Wanted something new, wanted real change. The change they thought they were getting with Barack Obama, and all he offered was communism. Redistribution of wealth and a failed economy. That's what the Democrats offer you. That's the reality of it. Let's take a break, and I'm going to explain why we're doing it wrong. We'll be right back. Okay, I've spent almost an hour talking about what we're doing right. Right? I mean, the economy's doing well. We're working more than ever before. We're trying to seal our border. We're trying to build a wall, and despite Congress dragging its feet on it, the military is down there laying barbed wire and digging trenches, trying to prepare for the onslaught, and it's not going to go well. We need that wall because sooner or later, more and more and more of these caravans are going to come. As things in the rest of the world deteriorate, and they will, as the rest of the world goes further into socialism and madness, there will be more illegal immigration, more people charging the border. We're doing it wrong. We are. We're not selling the American narrative overseas. We're trying to enforce it at gunpoint. When we wanted to bring democracy to Iraq, when we wanted to arrest the expansion of the Taliban in Afghanistan, what do? We went over and bombed them. That's no way to express what America is all about. Take a look at our elections. All we get is negative ads on TV. That guy's a communist. That guy's a Nazi. This guy is that. That guy is that. This is the most important election in our life. We're doing it wrong. Government shouldn't be that important in our lives. We should stop all this bombing people and start talking about, hey, listen, here's a copy of our Constitution. This is how we did it. You should do the same. Get rid of your leaders. You need some guns? Here you go. Here's help. That's how we used to do it, by the way. The CIA used to do it. They called it toppling regimes. No, we told the people of these countries, hey, get rid of your leaders. They're lousy. That's what we should be doing. We should take all of these Hondurans, these illegal immigrants, and ship them back to their country with a copy of our Constitution here. That's how you need to fix your country. You need to fix your country. Don't come here. Not unless you want to become American. So here's the process. Here you go. We'll staple a copy of the immigration application to your copy of the Constitution. So you got a choice. You could pick up a gun and get rid of your leaders, or you could come here legally and get in line. Because we do have a line. We do have doors into this country, even from Honduras, even from Guatemala, even from Costa Rica or Nicaragua or wherever they're coming from. Here's a staple of copy. Here you go. We'll put it in Spanish for you, too. That's great about America. We do it in Spanish. Oh, you don't speak Spanish? You speak Portuguese? Well, we got that. Click. Here you go. Don't, you know, why? I don't understand this whole process of you got to go to an immigration court and you can stay here in the United States. Why? What the hell is that all about? No. Here's the gate. Push them back out. That's not our problem. We need to change that law, too. Oh, but they're from Guatemala. We can't deport them to Mexico. Screw it. Here's the gate. Push them through. It's not my problem. Honestly, it's like Mexico should have stopped them at their border if you didn't want them there. It's not our problem. It's Mexico's problem. I firmly believe that. It's like, just push them through the gate. Sorry you came. You came here from Mexico. We're not interested that you're originally from Guatemala. I don't care if you're from Honduras. Not our problem. Oh, but there's law. So let's change the law. We're doing it wrong. We're doing everything wrong. Why are we in Afghanistan? Could anybody explain that to me? Well, we need to stop the Taliban from expanding. Why? Well, because we got Osama bin Laden from Taliban. No, we didn't. We got Osama bin Laden because we interfered in Afghanistan the first time around, because we were doing it wrong then. We decided to fund the Taliban to fight communism, which was a dumb friggin' move. We're doing it wrong. I can think of 100 things that we're doing wrong overseas. Why are we sending all this foreign aid to countries while they build? There was a story. I posted it to Facebook. It was a story from England, but you could apply it to the United States. England sent India over $1 billion in foreign aid. Meanwhile, they're spending 330 some odd million to build a statue. We're doing it wrong. What are we doing? Why are we funding all these countries? You know, America's foreign aid budget is enormous. We're funding everyone else's healthcare system. You know, all these countries, they say, we've got socialized medicine. We've got free healthcare. But we're giving them money, so much money that it's almost equivalent to their healthcare budget. We're paying for it. Why? Why are we paying for it? Watch how fast things will change in the rest of the world if we stop funding foreign aid. Well, why do you, I mean, if you ask an expert, quote unquote expert, at the State Department, why are we sending foreign aid? Well, it helps stabilize the world, you know, because without that money, then there'd be revolutions and civil wars. Good. That's a good thing. Get rid of the leaders. We should stop stabilizing the world. Well, because then there might be war. Yeah, but they're not going to come here. They're going to go there. They're going to have a civil war. Screw it. Let the rest of the world fight. They're not going to come after us. They can't. You think Honduras can launch an invasion of the United States? Well, they are, if you think about it. We're doing it wrong. We're doing it all wrong. Let's stop interfering with our military and start interfering with our heads. Here's a copy of the Constitution. Here you go. Next. That's America. Here, go fix your country the way we fixed ours. Here, copy. There you go. Here's an addendum copy. Oh, what country are you from? Honduras. Okay, here's the Honduran specialty form. Here you go. That's how you change the world, folks. That's how you change anything, my friend. You get up off your duff and you do it. Things won't change in Honduras or Guatemala or Central America or Afghanistan or Iraq unless the people there change it for themselves. Because otherwise, it's just an enforced thing. Otherwise, the people grow resentful of America. Well, you know, the Iraqi government is a puppet government of America. Well, you know, the Afghanistan government is a puppet of America. And that incites rebellion. That incites resentment overseas, the United States. We're doing it wrong. Why does Europe look the way it does? Europe is a great tourist destination, right? Well, why is it a tourist destination? Well, they have all these great works. Yeah, built in the 15th, 16th, 17th, 1800s. What have they built? What has Europe done lately? Well, maybe the Channel. I suppose that's something. What has Europe done lately? Not much. What has it done with the money we're sending? Is it spending it on their defense? No. Does anyone think that the German army or the French army or the Italian or the English could stand up to a Russian invasion? Probably not. Not without American interventionism. Not without American funding. That's why we're sending all that money overseas. But they're not spending it on defense. They're spending it on themselves. They're spending it on $300 million statues in India. We're doing it wrong. We should start making them accountable. And that's what Donald Trump is doing. That's why he said to NATO. And you know, they all talk about how Donald Trump wants to get rid of NATO. No, he wants to do it the way it should be done. You need to defend your own borders. You need to start building your armies. And they're all like, well, you don't want to build an army because, you know, we're taxing the shit of our people anyway. And if we have to build an army, that means there's no money for graft and all this other fun stuff. Yeah, well, not our problem. Go tell it to the Spartans. This is an old joke. I look it up. Where are we doing it right? Donald Trump is setting us on the course to doing it right. But even he is soft-shoeing it. Even he is being careful, like walking on eggshells, about telling NATO that it needs to lump it. But why is Turkey a member of NATO, first of all? I mean, Turkey is going around, and, you know, Erdogan is building an Islamic empire out there. Why do we tolerate that? Why do we tolerate all this stuff that goes on around the world? Donald Trump is setting us in that court. That's why I like Trump. It's not because he's a nice guy or because he's kind to women or he kisses babies or, you know, he's good with the communication. He's great with the speeches. No, no, no. I live with all the nonsense of Donald Trump. He's a lousy fella. But I like his policies. I like that the fact that he's telling NATO to go lump it. I like the fact that he's lowering taxes. I like the fact that he's working the Republican Party here in the United States to do things about our economy. I like the fact that he's getting out of the way of business. So does Wall Street. And this election is not about Donald Trump. It's about the next election. It's about 2020 and 2024. The House and the Senate are stepping stones to the presidency. I told the American people on this show, well, before it was this show now, it was an earlier show. I said, look, you can't just go out and win the presidency. That's why I said Mitt Romney will not win. Can't just win the presidency. You have to win the House. You have to win the Senate. You have to build a consensus of the American people that the Republican Party is the right direction for the future. That's when you win the presidency. That's what they're doing now. That's what the Democrats are doing now. The Democrats were decimated by the Barack Obama presidency. That's why they're building consensus in the House and in the Senate. They're trying to get the American people back on their side. And I think they're doing it wrong, too. You're never going to win the American people with a socialist and communist agenda. Not going to happen. Not unless you stuff the ballot box. They talk about stuffing the ballot box in a variety of ways. Getting illegal immigrants to vote. They're doing it in California. Legally, illegal aliens voting. They're trying to lower the voting age. They're trying to say that people without an identification can go vote, which means you could vote in 3 or 4 different states. You could be anything. They're trying to stuff the ballot box. They're doing it wrong, too. You need to make the case for better government. You need to say, hey, we're going to improve response by the federal government in terms of what it relates to you in your life. We're going to improve Medicare. We're going to strengthen Social Security. And that would be a better argument. But they're not making that argument. As I said, what are they making the argument for? Open borders, free college, free Medicare? They're doing it wrong too. Government should not be that important in your life. Shouldn't be that much of a focus in your life. The founding fathers never intended for a strong and vigorous government. They wanted deadlock in government. They wanted gridlock. They wanted a slow-moving, methodical government that doesn't really interfere too much in your life. Back in the day, the president of the United States could walk down the street. Nobody cared. Over the years, it's now he's got to live in a fortress. Why? Well, because they're interfering with your life in so many different ways that people are getting upset. That's why everyone wants to take a shot at somebody else. It needs to become less important in your life, so it's not that big a deal. So we can go back to watching I Dream of Jeannie without having Jeannie talk about the Me Too movement. When it gets to that point, then we're doing it right. Then things are successful. When it isn't so important, when elections aren't an historic election, we're doing it wrong. Let's talk about people and voting. We'll be right back. Gifts of all sizes help to ensure that Liberty Never Sleeps remains a relevant, vital resource across our nation. More than 70% of the funding for Liberty Never Sleeps comes from our listeners through the generosity of membership support by donating at patreon.com. Join our Insiders Club for $10 a month and gain access to private shows and editorial columns. Go to libertyneversleeps.com and click on the Donate Now button at the top of the page or on the button at our Facebook site. Thank you for your continued support. We're back. They're talking about this election, that more people are voting now early than ever before. Yeah, well, population is larger. But it's kind of a thing now to vote early because they're mailing these early ballots to everyone, which is running the risk of voter fraud. It's an increased chance of voter fraud, but there's an increased vote. So, you know, it's, you know, half dozen of one, six of another. More people are voting now early, and the Republican vote is much higher on the early ballots. You know why? Republicans are smarter. If you're going to go to a vote, a bowling place, right, and stand in line for hours and then complain that there aren't enough voting places open, then you're a fucking idiot. I mean, there's no reason to wait in line for even if you wait until election day to vote, there's no reason. All you got to do is take your early ballot and go drop it in a box. You don't have to wait on that line. Just drop it in a box. There's no reason to wait in lines. That's why Republicans are in far greater numbers voting early. They're smarter. That is an indication that the Republican voter is smarter than the Democrat voter. It's a very simple argument. Why wait in line? Fill out your ballot and mail it in early. Or you can go online. You can register to vote online. You could do everything online. And Republicans are doing it in much greater numbers than Democrats. Now, some people are making the argument, well, that means the Republican turnout will be better. I'm not so sure. I think Republicans are just – I think it's going to be the same turnout that we saw in previous elections because people don't vote as a percentage. How many people voted in the presidential election, which always is much higher than the midterms because people – a lot of people don't think that the midterms are important, believe it or not. What was the turnout? 110 million, 120, right? There's approximately 200 and some odd million people that are eligible to vote, not registered, eligible to vote in the United States. It means about a third of people can't vote because they're disabled or whatever. They're too sick, mentally incompetent. They have a prison record. About a third of the population falls into that category. A third falls into the category that they have registered to vote and then they're going to vote. It's about a third of the country, total population, 120 million. I think it's about 355, 360 million. And a third just don't vote. That are eligible to vote and just don't vote. People don't vote in this country. As a general rule, elections, the voting as a percentage of the population has been deteriorating for the last 50 years. People are tuning out. You would think that with all the ads that people would, but people in general don't vote. And millennials are the worst demographic for voting. That's why things look like they do in this country. Because people don't vote. And the vote tomorrow, you'll find that even though the numbers, the gross numbers, the amount of people voting will be never higher, the percentage of the electorate is going to be even lower than it's been. It's been consistently deteriorating for years. It's kind of flattened out a little bit because public discontent, you know, public interest being motivated. In other words, I hate Clinton, so I'm going to go vote. I hate Trump, I'm going to vote, has never been higher. But that's also why you see journalists and stuff ginning up, you know, discontent because they're trying to get people to vote. People who are content and happy don't vote. People who aren't really mad at anything, people who aren't political, they don't vote. That's who isn't voting. So when you talk about the American electorate is more progressive than it's ever been. The American electorate has been more conservative than ever been. Well, most people are tuning it out. Most people are sick of the negativity. Most people are sick of all the divisiveness. They just want government to do what it's supposed to do, run things. Take out the garbage, you know, off your street. Make sure that when you ring 911, police come in right away. When they turn on the faucet, clean water comes out. That's what they want from government. And you have to decide in this election who's going to better give it to you. Is it going to be someone with the Democrats with more control, more bureaucracy, more tyranny in your life? And that you may want that. You may say, oh, government should give me college education. Government should give me my health care. Government should allow anybody who wants to come into this country and take advantage of all these good things that we built up over the years. They should have open border. If you believe that, then vote Democrat. But if you realize that going to the DMV would be a way of life for you, then vote Republican. If you think that things are all monkeyed up and your job and you want that in every day and every factor of your life, vote Republican. If you want less of something, vote Republican. If you want more, vote Democrat. It's really very simple. You don't have to study the candidates and their backgrounds. You don't have to know anything. All you have to know is, do I want less government or do I want more? And that's the way you should vote. And I, if you believe that, vote your heart, vote your conscience. But don't sit home. Don't sit home and say, well, he's not conservative enough. He's not liberal enough. He's not libertarian like Bernie Sanders is. I want somebody like Clinton. If you think that, then you're just shooting yourself in the head. Then you're just a problem. Because you're not being, you're just a drain on society. And then you go around and you complain about things, and when that's offensive to me. Go vote. Do it today if you haven't already. Register to vote online. Do it properly. Don't wait in line. Don't beef at me. I really get mad at people who show up online the election day, you've had months to vote. They show up on election day, get in line, and say, I couldn't vote because the line was too long. I didn't want to wait. You didn't want to wait. Or say, but the polling place was terrible in my place and there aren't enough polling workers, and so I didn't vote. That's just a cop-out. That really is. Register to vote. Vote early. Or just bring your ballot, your mail-in ballot, and drop it in the box. It's not that hard, for Christ's sake. If you can't do that, don't come to me and complain. Republican and Democrat alike, don't come to me and complain. I don't want to hear it. We're out of time. I'm hoping tomorrow that this blue wave is gone. The Republicans retain the Senate. Republicans retain the House. But we'll see what happens. And there's going to be no doubt in my mind there are going to be surprises. And we'll talk about all of it tomorrow. Take care, folks. Have a good one.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Gotta get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.